in the next few seconds. "I don't want to hurt anyone," he said, smiling cheerfully. She felt sympathy for him and sadness for what had happened.
"I understand," she said. "Let's go back to the hospital."
"No, no."
"I'll go with you. I'll stay with you all the time. It will be all right."
"Don't argue with me." He snapped to his feet, fists clenched, and glared down at her. "I will not listen."
He broke off, but did not smile. Instead, he began to sniff the air.
"What is that smell?" he said. "I hate that smell. What is it? I hate it. Do you hear me? I hate it."
He moved towards her, sniffing. He reached his hands out toward her.
"Harry,
I hate this feeling," he said. She got up off the couch, moving away. He followed her clumsily, his hands still outstretched.
"I don't want this feeling. I don't want it," he said.
He was no longer sniffing. He was fully in a trance state, coming toward her.
"Harry?"
His face was blank, an automaton mask. His arms were still extended toward her. He almost seemed to be sleepwalking as he advanced on her. His movements were slow, and she was able to back away from him, maintaining distance. Then suddenly he picked up a heavy glass ashtray and flung it at her. She dodged. It struck one of the large windows, shattering the glass. He leaped for her and threw his arms around her, holding her in a clumsy bear hug. He squeezed her with incredible strength.
"Harry!" she gasped. "Harry!"
She looked up at his face. She kneed him in the groin. He grunted and released her, bending at the waist, coughing. She moved away from him and picked up the phone. She dialed the operator. Benson was still bent over, still coughing.
"Operator?
Operator, give me the police.
Do you want the Beverly Hills police or the Los Angeles police?"
"I don't care."
"Well, which do you..."
She dropped the phone. Benson was stalking her again. She heard the tiny voice of the operator saying,
"Hello? Hello?"
Benson tore the phone away and flung it behind him across the room. He picked up a floor lamp and held it base outward. He began to swing it in large, hissing arcs. She ducked it once and felt the gush of air in the wake of the heavy metal base. If it hit her, it would kill her. It would kill her. The realization pushed her to action. She ran to the kitchen. Benson dropped the lamp and followed her. She tore open drawers, looking for a knife. She found only a small paring knife. Where the hell were her big knives? Benson was in the kitchen. She threw a pot at him blindly. It clattered against his knees. He moved forward. The detached and academic part of her mind was still operating, telling her that she was making a big mistake, that there was something in the kitchen she could use. But what? Benson's hands closed around her neck. The grip was terrifying. She grabbed his wrists and tried to pull them away. She kicked up with her leg, but he twisted his body away from her, then pressed her back against the counter, pinning her down. She could not move. She could not breathe. She began to see blue spots dancing before her eyes. Her lungs burned for air. Her fingers scratched along the counter, feeling for something, anything, to strike him with.